Welcome to the GCSE Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in your Christianity unit, prayer. Whether you're sitting AQA GCSE Religious Studies this year or just starting your revision, this episode is going to give you everything you need to nail those exam questions. So grab your revision notes, maybe a cup of tea, and let's get started. Prayer is at the absolute heart of Christian practice. It's how Christians communicate with God, and the exam board expects you to know not just what prayer is, but the different types, why Christians pray, and what the theological significance of prayer actually is. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to distinguish between liturgical, non-liturgical, and informal prayer, explain the Lord's Prayer and why Jesus gave it, apply the ACTS model to generate exam points, and evaluate whether private prayer is more spiritually significant than public worship. That last one is a classic 12-mark question, so stay tuned. Let's start with the core concepts. First up, what is prayer? Now, a really common mistake candidates make is describing prayer as simply talking to God. That will not earn you top marks. Examiners want you to be precise. Prayer is a form of communication between humans and God, which can take multiple forms, including adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Notice I've just given you the ACTS model right there. We'll come back to that in a moment. Now, there are three main types of prayer you need to know for the exam. The first is liturgical prayer. Liturgical prayer uses set, prescribed texts and follows a fixed order. It's the kind of prayer you'd find in a formal church service. The most famous example is the Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. In Catholic and Anglican churches, the Book of Common Prayer and the Roman Missal contain liturgical prayers used every Sunday. The key thing about liturgical prayer is that it unites the congregation. Everyone says the same words together, which creates a sense of community and shared identity. Examiners love it when you make that link between liturgical prayer and community cohesion. The second type is non-liturgical prayer. This is spontaneous, extempore prayer. That means it's made up on the spot with no fixed words. You'll find this in evangelical and Pentecostal churches where the minister or congregation members might pray aloud in their own words. The advantage here is that it feels personal and immediate. It reflects the individual's current relationship with God. Some Christians argue this is more authentic because it comes straight from the heart. The third type is informal prayer. This is private, personal prayer that can happen anywhere and at any time. A Christian might pray quietly before a meal, during a walk, or last thing at night. Jesus himself endorsed private prayer in Matthew 6, verse 6, where he says, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." That's a brilliant source of wisdom and authority to use in your 5-mark questions. Now let's talk about the Lord's Prayer in detail, because this comes up constantly in exams. Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer to his disciples as a model, a template for how to pray. It's found in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. Let's break it down. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is adoration. It establishes the fatherhood of God, which is theologically significant because it frames the relationship between God and humanity as one of a loving parent and child. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is a prayer of submission, acknowledging God's sovereignty. "Give us today our daily bread." This is supplication, asking God to meet basic needs. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." This is confession, and it also introduces the concept of conditional forgiveness, which links beautifully to Christian ethics. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Again, supplication, asking for God's protection. Now, a really important examiner point: do not just quote the Lord's Prayer and leave it there. You must explain why it matters. The Lord's Prayer establishes the fatherhood of God, models the ACTS structure, unites Christians across denominations, and was given directly by Jesus, making it the ultimate source of wisdom and authority. Let's now go through the ACTS model properly, because this is your golden tool for generating points and explain questions. ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Adoration means praising God for who he is, his nature, his holiness, his power. An example from the Lord's Prayer: "Hallowed be your name." Christians might also use psalms for adoration, like Psalm 150, which calls everything to praise God. Confession means acknowledging sin and asking for forgiveness. The Lord's Prayer includes "forgive us our debts." The first letter of John, chapter 1, verse 9, says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins." This is a great source of wisdom and authority to quote. Thanksgiving means expressing gratitude for God's blessings. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Christians give thanks for creation, for salvation, for daily provision. Supplication means making requests, both for yourself and for others. When you pray for others, this is called intercession. When you pray for yourself, it's called petition. Both are forms of supplication. James 5, verse 16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Another excellent source of wisdom and authority. Now let's talk about the dual function of prayer, because examiners specifically credit this. Prayer serves two key purposes. First, it strengthens the personal relationship between the individual Christian and God. Through regular prayer, Christians believe they grow closer to God, develop their faith, and receive guidance. Second, prayer reinforces community cohesion. When Christians pray together, whether in a Sunday service, a prayer group, or at a family meal, it creates bonds of shared faith and mutual support. Corporate worship, which means worship done together as a group, is seen by many Christians as essential. Hebrews 10, verse 25 says, "Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." That verse is gold for your exam. Now let's move into exam tips and common mistakes. This is where we get really practical. Common mistake number one, describing prayer as simply talking to God. Always use specific types: intercession, adoration, confession, petition, thanksgiving. The examiner's mark scheme specifically says credit is given for precise distinction between types of prayer. Common mistake number two, in five mark questions, failing to include a source of wisdom and authority. The formula for a five mark question is point, explanation, reference to scripture or another source of wisdom and authority, link back to the question. If you miss the scripture reference, you are capping yourself at around three marks. Always include a Bible verse. Common mistake number three, confusing liturgical and informal prayer. Liturgical prayer is structured and uses set texts. Informal prayer is personal and unstructured. They are not the same thing. A common wrong answer is to say, "Informal prayer has no structure at all." But actually, many Christians use frameworks like ACTS to structure their informal prayer. Saying it has no structure is an oversimplification that examiners will penalize. Common mistake number four. In 12 mark evaluation questions, writing a conclusion that just summarizes what you've already said. Your conclusion must make a judgment. It must say, "On balance, I believe that a paralinguistic position, paralinguistic, because paralinguistic reason, paralinguistic, and this outweighs the counterargument because paralinguistic reason, paralinguistic." That's what gets you into level four. Let's talk about command words quickly. Describe questions want two developed features. Explain questions want you to give reasons with evidence. Evaluate questions, the 12 mark ones, want a balanced argument with a clear, justified conclusion. The command word "to what extent" is asking you to weigh up the evidence and reach a verdict. Don't sit on the fence. Now, here's a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions and you try to answer before I give the answer. Ready? Question one, what does ACTS stand for? The answer is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Question two, in which book and chapter of the Bible is the Lord's Prayer found? The answer is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. Question three, what is the difference between liturgical and non-liturgical prayer? Liturgical prayer uses set, prescribed texts in a fixed order. Non-liturgical prayer is spontaneous and extempore, with no fixed words. Question four, what are the two functions of prayer according to the mark scheme? First, strengthening the personal relationship with God. Second, reinforcing community cohesion. Question five, what is intercession? Intercession is a form of supplication where you pray on behalf of others, asking God to help them. Question six, which verse from Matthew's gospel endorses private prayer? Matthew 6, verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Question 7. What does extempore mean in the context of prayer? It means spontaneous prayer made up on the spot without fixed words. How did you do? If you got all 7, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those sections. Let me leave you with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Prayer is communication with God, and it comes in 3 main types. Liturgical, which uses set texts, non-liturgical, which is spontaneous, and informal, which is personal and private. The Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, was given by Jesus as a model for Christian prayer. It establishes the fatherhood of God, models the ACTS structure, and unites Christians across denominations. The ACTS model, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, is your best friend in explain questions. Use it to generate four distinct points instantly. Prayer serves a dual function, deepening the personal relationship with God and strengthening community cohesion through corporate worship. In your five-mark questions, always include a source of wisdom and authority, a Bible verse. In your 12-mark questions, always end with a clear, justified judgment. That's it for today's episode. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those exam questions, and remember, the difference between a grade 5 and a grade 9 is often just precision and evidence. Be specific, use your scripture references, and always answer the question that's actually been asked. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.